Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Good morning. You are looking good. You're looking really good. How amazing was last weekend? Last Saturday and last Sunday. How incredible was it to hear the vision and to just experience God working in our midst. I love vision. Do you love vision? Love hearing vision and God stirring our hearts and creating incredible opportunities for us to see His kingdom come, to see His will done. And what a privilege to engage in what God is doing in our city and in our church. You know, I just really sense that this is such an important time before the coming of Jesus, where He's preparing our hearts and working on us to see His kingdom come in us and through us. I know God has just been messing my heart up. I know He's been doing, you know, there are those seasons where He comes and He just messes you up. He just comes and starts digging again and just wanting to re-engage at a different level, at a deeper level. You know, somebody said something the other day to me that really kind of made me think. They said, you know, have you ever thought when we stand before God and we're waiting in the line for our turn to stand and answer to God for our lives? And there besides us is standing a work colleague or a neighbor. And they're saying to us, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell my family? What am I going to say to him when I get there and it's my turn? Why didn't you say something that would prepare me to stand before God? And it really made me think. You know, I think this is a time when God is awakening us again. I'm hearing that word everywhere I go. I'm hearing this word, awaken. God is wanting to awaken His church. But to awaken His church means He has to awaken me and you, because we're the church. It's me. It's you. You know, about 3 years ago, I've got a sister who lives in southern France, and she had just gone through a really, really, really tough time. And about that time, she used to be a very strong Christian, but she'd kind of gotten out of fellowship, and she still had a place for God, but not like it used to be. And about 3 years ago, she started to get really sick, and they didn't know what it was, and she spent a lot of time in hospital and them doing tests, and she just got progressively worse. And finally, after they lifted her skull, they realized that her brain was constantly hemorrhaging. She was really sick. She was having seizures, and she was going blind. She couldn't get out of home. And we would ring her. I said, Deb, we're praying for you. And you know, constantly she would say this. She would say, don't just pray for my healing, but pray for what God wants to do in my heart. Don't just pray for my healing. God is doing something, and pray that He keeps doing what He's doing in my heart. She got progressively worse. She couldn't work. She couldn't get out of the house until about 5 weeks ago. She was just worshiping in a home, just sitting on a lounge worshiping. And she felt God say to her, I've healed you. Stop your medication. She was taking medication for the pain and to stop the seizures and the things that were going on. And so she did. She stopped her medication. All that day she was in agony. She went to bed that night and she got up the next morning completely and utterly healed. Totally healed. How good is God? She had a doctor's appointment that day, and normally the doctor would send an ambulance to pick her up because she couldn't drive, she couldn't get around, and she thought, I've got this appointment. And this appointment, the doctor was going to sign off to say she could never work again and she would go on a disability pension, medical pension, and get help. And so she rang the ambulance and said, don't come. I'm driving. She hadn't driven for 18 months. She drove to the doctor's. The doctor could not believe. He just couldn't comprehend. And so she also had an appointment with the specialist where the specialist had to sign off on this letter from the doctor to say she could never work again. And she said, I'm going back to work. And the doctor said, you can't. So he sent her off to the specialist, an hour and a half drive each way, which she drove herself. She got to the specialist and the specialist went, this is impossible. I don't know what's happened. This does not happen. She said, sir, my Jesus has healed me. My Jesus has healed me. Now I want you to give me a certificate to say I can go back to work. She has been back at work for the last 4 weeks, totally healed. Totally healed. You see, it's not just what happens in our head. It's what God does in our hearts that makes so much difference. You see, it all starts with the heart. Everything comes back to the heart because it's primarily our heart that is called to follow Jesus. You know, when Jesus said to the disciples to follow him, they made a decision with their heads to follow Jesus, but the decision came from their heart to follow him. You know, the rich young ruler who came to Jesus saying that he'd fulfilled all the law, he'd done everything, he'd done his best, and he came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, what more must I do? And Jesus said to him, sell everything you've got and come and follow me. And he couldn't do it because he wanted Jesus in his head, but his heart was captivated by his riches. And so he couldn't decide to actually follow Jesus. And he didn't. You know, in Matthew 4, we read the account of Jesus calling his disciples with the words, follow me. And that's what I want to speak about this morning. Follow me. So Matthew 4, verse 18 to 22. And before we read this, why don't we just pray? Father, today, would you look at our hearts and would you talk to our hearts? Holy Spirit, we're open to hear because we want to be awakened to everything you're calling us to. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, as Jesus was walking by the side of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and they followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. You know, if we're going to follow Jesus, then it's pretty helpful, I think, to understand what that actually means.
But what does it actually mean to follow Jesus? When he said, follow me, what does that actually entail? You know, we understand the word. You know, when somebody says, follow me. You know, if you're going somewhere and you don't quite know where you're going, and they just say, oh, follow me. And so you hop in your car and they go through every orange light and out in the traffic and when there's no gap and, you know what I mean? And it's this kind of casual, well, just follow me and I'll sort of look out for you and you just make sure that you try and keep up sort of thing. Or, you know, if you're a young person, if you, you know, if you're following somebody, then you probably relate to Instagram. You know, to follow somebody means that, you know, you've got some kind of an interest in the person you're following. And most people follow many people, numerous people, and dabble in their lives. It's all pretty impersonal. And, you know, you're left to determine the context of what you're looking at so often. You kind of loosely keep track of the highlights and occasionally the lowlights in their lives. I still cannot work out what is so interesting about what people are eating. I don't get it. I don't get why I need to be interested in your pet. I don't get it. Sorry, pet lovers. Or, you know, you're on this holiday, and I think the idea is to make everybody else jealous. Or your children. Bless their hearts, right? But, you know, the account that we're reading is very different to the current usage of the word follow. What Jesus asked was not casual. It was far more than an event. When we read this passage, we can see what it meant to Peter and the other disciples to actually follow Jesus. They left everything to follow Jesus. This was not a casual or convenient conversation. They literally dropped everything. You see, that word follow in the Bible, when it talks about that, if you go back and look at the original, it means that you come together in union. It means that there's a likeness. It means to pursue somebody with the goal of becoming like them. The original usage of the word came from an old hunting term where a hunter would get on the trail of an animal and would not give up until it tracked that animal and caught the animal. To follow, when Jesus used the term, in fact, it's used 77 times in the Gospels, that it was something that was so intentional. Now, I know that in our lives, you know, the concept of following Jesus at times can seem, you know, fairly daunting and even abstract. Life is busy and demanding, and following Jesus can at times be, you know, blurred into simply attending church or trying to be a good person. Trying to be some kind of an example to others. You know, 5 minutes of prayer in the car on the way to work is the extent of our prayer life. And then come home and switch off because we're tired. Or maybe, you know, it's just trying to cope with the things that are going on around our lives that absorb us, that we get so busy in, and our prayer and our focus is, God, just get me through this and help me to meet that commitment or that bill, or God, I need your help in this area. And it just becomes almost like surviving. Sometimes it can even be just a head thing
and not a heart thing.
You know, as we read on and engage with the story of the disciples and them being followers of Jesus, wow, the fruit that came from their lives, the things that happened were incredible. The presence of God in their life as they followed Him, saw miracles and saw whole multitudes coming to Jesus, saw the birthing of a church, they just saw the most incredible things as they followed Jesus because they followed Him with their heart. Isn't it interesting that Judas, who betrayed Jesus, physically followed Him, but somewhere his heart went missing. Somewhere his heart wasn't there. You know, I've discovered that there are lots of ways that we can follow Jesus. You know, we can follow Jesus simply as part of the crowd. We read constantly in the Bible how the crowds follow Jesus. In Mark chapter 3, in verse 7, it says, Jesus withdrew with His disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed Him. And when they heard about all the things He was doing, many people came to Him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. You see, they all made some kind of a commitment, some kind of an effort to get to Jesus. They took time out. Why did they follow? What was their motive for following Jesus? Well, they were hearing things. They were seeing things that they'd never seen before. There was a wow, look at what this guy can do. He fed them. He gave them hope. He talked about things. And I'm sure there are times as He talked with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and He put them in the place, the people were going, yeah, come on, Jesus. They watched Him do incredible miracles. But the truth is, when they went home, nothing was different. Nothing had changed. They simply followed Him, but their heart was not with Him. Their following was one of convenience and enjoying the wow and the buzz. That's why Jesus said He spoke in parables, because they were hearing but not hearing. They were seeing but not seeing. So Jesus said, because of that, I'm just going to speak to them in parables. Because they're never going to understand. See, following Jesus was never ever supposed to leave us unchanged. When we follow Jesus, we will always change. Something will be different in our lives constantly. It was never and should never be about an event or a gathering, but always about a love and a transformed life because we're following Him. They missed the whole point. You know, it's also possible to follow at a distance. Peter did that. At one point, through hurt, through discouragement, through guilt. We read in Matthew chapter 26, verse 57, those who had arrested Jesus took Him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed Him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and he sat down with the guards to see the outcome. You see, from a distance, it becomes a whole lot easier to deny Jesus. It becomes a whole lot easier not to speak when we should speak. It becomes a whole lot easier not to carry the convictions that God wants us to carry. It's so easy to compromise, to get slack, to put our own self-interest and convenience first. To get distracted. Just so easy to attend church and then do my own thing in the week. To be so committed on a Sunday
and yet make poor business decisions that don't honor God on Monday. It's so easy to lift my hands in worship and then on Monday not love my wife the way I should. See, it's easy and convenient at times to kind of have this casual relationship where we keep up with the latest Christian Instagram post, aware of what's going on, but our heart is not there. And so nothing changes. You know, there are lots of reasons why in the past I've followed at a distance. Just like Peter, sometimes through fear, maybe through pride, hurt, unforgiveness, habits, just other priorities. But you know what I've found happens? Is that Jesus' voice just becomes another voice in my life. Not the voice in my life. So many other voices speaking, I find it hard to understand and hear which one is the Master's voice and what is he saying to me. You see, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. It's really hard to hear from a distance when we follow him at a distance. Is this okay? We're never called to follow at a distance. It leads nowhere. Nothing changes. You know, in fact, it's a really miserable place to be. It ended up, when Peter followed a distance, the end conclusion of it was, I'm going back fishing. I'm going back to what I know. I'm putting faith down. And I'm just going to get through with what I know. Rather than growing and pressing forward and seeing the victory of God and seeing God's promises and purposes fulfilled in our lives, we hit this place where we go, oh, this is just not happening for me. We were never, ever called to follow at a distance because it's intimacy and love and purpose and peace that is found in his presence. That's where we find it. It's where we hear his voice. We were never designed to follow at a distance. You know, it's also possible to follow people who are following Jesus. You know, I've seen so many husbands following their wives' spiritual fervor and desire. Following people who are following Jesus is not a bad thing. We all need to be listening and learning and growing and being in community and being in life track and learning from others and growing with others. But the idea was never just to follow people who are following Jesus, but it's to follow Jesus and then follow the people who are following Jesus and have them speak into our life. Because if you're just following somebody who's following Jesus and they get distracted and they stop, what do? You bang into the back of them and you're distracted with their distraction. You're only traveling at the pace they're traveling at. Jesus has called you to follow him and be close to him, not simply follow people who are following Jesus. He wants us to personally engage because he wants to engage with our heart and capture our heart. You know, I love looking at the life of Caleb. And in Joshua 14, we read where Caleb got his mountain. He fulfilled the destiny that God had. He was one of the 12 spies that they sent out. 10 went out and came back with a bad report. Caleb and Joshua came back and said, hey, we can do this thing. And in the end, the children of Israel, as a result of following the 10, ended up traveling around the desert for 40 years until finally it comes the day when the children of Israel are ready to go in. And listen to the words of Joshua. In Joshua 14 and verse 18,
He says, but my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. That's the other 10. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. And so on that day, Moses swore to me, the land in which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old, and I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out of battle as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb the son of Jephunneh and said and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. And so Hebron has belonged to Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite ever since because he followed the Lord God of Israel wholeheartedly. He won his mountain. He got there because God is looking for a wholehearted following. A heart that engages, a heart that wants to follow. You see, there's a part of every one of us that longs for intimacy, longs for acceptance, longs for purpose. Friends, the world out there is chasing all sorts of things, is following all kinds of rabbit trails. But thank God, intimacy and purpose and grace and forgiveness and blessing and destiny and purpose is found in following Jesus. He's the one that we're called to follow. It's him. To follow wholeheartedly, a heart needs to be engaged. To know there's a place in there that just needs Jesus. Do you know you need him? Do you know how much he longs for you? It's when he gets in our hearts and he starts messing us up and he starts awakening us that we begin to see him again and long for him and truly follow him. The way he's called us to follow him. You know, if Jesus walked down your street today, if he walked through your office today, if he was at a barbecue at your house, and he said to you, follow me, what would it mean to you today, where you sit? In your world, with all that's going on, what would it mean to you? Where would it lead you? Would it be a heartfelt, yes, I'm following you? Or, hang on, I've just got to sort this and I've got to do that and I need to work that out and I'm just trying to organize this and once I get the mortgage a bit more paid off and da 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 da. Would it be yes? Whatever it is, I'm following you. Wherever you go, I'm going. Whatever you have, I want. Whatever you say, I'm listening. Because friends, that's what it actually means to awake. That's what it actually means to follow him. Wherever he goes. You see, this is the amazing thing. In the beginning of the book of Matthew, where Jesus came to the disciples and he said, follow me. They didn't know where they were going. But Jesus did. They didn't know their tomorrow, but he did, because he was already in their tomorrow. You know, the book of Matthew finishes with go into all the world, teach,
make disciples, baptize, and lo, I'm with you to the end of the world. You know, when we say lost found, disciples made, nations reached, it's actually a precis of Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. It's a summary of Jesus' command. Because following him will always end up there. It will always end us in us going. It'll always end with lost found, disciples made, and nations reached. So I encourage you today, where are you? How's your following? How are you following today? Because, friends, I just know, and you know, you're sensing it. We're all sensing it as family. There's an awakening happening, amen. God is stirring our hearts because he has something so amazing. But the amazing we only step into as we follow him, because he is the amazing. He's the one that makes it happen. He's the one that sees it. He's the one that breathes on it. He's the one that empowers it. He's the one that enables it. He's the one that makes it happen. And it'll only happen as we follow him. And that's his heart's desire, to see it happen. Wouldn't it be amazing in 3 years' time to have 1,000 people in Scarborough? Wouldn't it be amazing? Why not? Why not? We're called to follow him. Just in this moment, I just want to change. And I want to speak to you today if you're not sure that you even know Jesus. Maybe you once did know him. But if you're here today and don't actually know what it means to follow Jesus, today you can. You know, this is not about religion, but a life-transforming, heart-healing transformation. Inside, we come alive to spiritual life and eternal meaning. It starts with a very simple decision to follow Jesus by asking for forgiveness. See, God is holy, and if we're going to know him, we need to be cleansed, because our wrongdoing separates us from him and his presence. But Jesus came and he died on the cross. He paid the penalty so that the stain and the stench of our wrongdoing could be cleansed and washed clean, and puts us in a place where our spirit comes alive to the presence and the reality of God, to purpose, to the reason why we're actually created. We're all created for something. It's just a simple prayer of surrender that allows Jesus to come and enter into your world. But more importantly, you enter into his world of life and truth and purpose. So in a moment, we're just going to pray a very simple prayer, and I'm going to ask everyone to pray along. But if you've never prayed that prayer, or if you know that you just haven't been where you need to be, and today you're saying, Jesus, I want to realign again with you. My heart hasn't been where it needs to have been, maybe for a long time. Just wherever you are, I want you to slip up your hand, and we're going to join with you in praying. I'm not going to call you forward. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I am going to ask you the question, will you follow him today? Because he has got purpose and life for you. So wherever you are, just slip up your hand so I can see it and put it down. Let me acknowledge it, and then we're going to pray. Somewhere I know there's people here today. There's a tug going on in your life to follow him. Come on, Christians, you be praying right now. Yeah, God bless you down there. God bless you. so good. Somebody else today, you know it's time. Yeah, God bless you there, sir. God bless you. Somebody else today, it's time. It's time. Yeah, God bless you over there, sir. God bless you. All right, family, come on, we're going to pray. We're going to pray and we're going to join and lend our faith to these people that have lifted their hands today. So you just pray after me as you lifted your hand. You mean this in your heart because it's much more than a head decision. It's allowing God to get into our heart. It's not religion, it's relationship. It's reality. It's His presence and His purpose that comes. So come on, let's pray, family. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today and I ask you to cleanse me, to forgive me, to become real in my life. I make the decision today to follow you, to follow closely and allow you to change my life. I want to be used by you and a blessing to those around me. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give God thanks this morning. Amen. Well, my time is gone, but just before I sit down, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk to all of us today and ask the question, what does following Jesus look like to you? Right now where you are, what does it look like to you? Because I just know God is calling all of us to awaken. Awaken to what He's doing and to a closer following. That's how we become like Him. That's where love and grace flow. That's where power and anointing reside. I so want to see Jesus do something. So today, wherever you are, maybe today you know that you've been following just as a part of the crowd. Maybe today you just acknowledge that in some areas of your life you've been following at a distance. Maybe you've been following somebody who's following Jesus without your own vibrant relationship. As we conclude in worship this morning, I'm going to ask you just to stand wherever you are. Or maybe you're saying, God, I'm just ready for a fresh awakening. I'm just ready again, Jesus, to awaken my heart because I want to follow you in a closer way. I'm not going to call you forward because this is your decision. This is about you and what God is saying in your heart. But if any of those things resonate with you, just stand quickly and quietly where you are. Right now, just wherever you are, just stand and say, Jesus, Holy Spirit, I want more than my head. I want my heart to so engage in this journey of following you. And from wherever I am, Jesus, I want a closer following. I want you to speak again to me. I want you to breathe again. I want there to be an awakening in my heart, in my life, because I want to honor you. I want to know you more. Come on, let's just worship wherever we are today as we conclude this.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.